morning. Today is Tuesday, April the 14th, and for Talk Shop today, we're doing something a little different. Both the host and our guest are calling in remotely. Introduce yourselves.
the host should go first, I think.
Yeah, I suppose. Morning,
morning. This is Greg Foster from Redeck.
From Ferndale today, right?
Yeah, right. The new office on the road in Ferndale.
Yeah. No kidding. And I banged myself up again, so I'm at the house. So we'll see how this little experiment goes.
It might be
the routine here for the next 5 or 6 weeks or so, if things go the way that we may end up. All right. So Winston has decided he wants to try to stump both of us in one shot here. So
yes, because I have the book, the holy grail of books on why do we say these. Plucky. What is the reason we call a brave man plucky?
It must have something to do with plucking the chicken.
I was thinking a goose, because most of this stuff is from Europe. So I'm going to go with something with preparing, chef preparing fowl for dinner.
Okay, well, that's close enough. The pluck is that which is plucked from the innards of a bird or an animal to serving it at the table, the heart, gizzard, liver, and guts. A plucky man is one who has guts, and we use both terms to mean emotional stamina and stability.
Well, I suspect that that's, we need that all we can get in bucket loads these days.
Exactly.
Well, I am hearing, Greg, from buddies throughout the country that with some of the different loans that are available, whether it's the PPP, the EIDL, or some of the local stuff, that it's the small local banks and financial institutions that are able to kind of outmaneuver the big Goliaths, similar to what a local retailer does against the big box guys. Is that kind of what you're hearing also from your folks?
Yes and no. There are a couple issues around those programs that, these are the largest small business loan and loan guarantee programs in American history, and they're only a week old. So, we're figuring it out. So, just for the audience's sake, the EIDL is it's an acronym for a loan program that the Small Business Administration is doing, and that's a direct loan from the government. And so you apply for that. And then these PPP programs everyone talks about, those are actually Small Business Administration loan guarantees to banks and credit unions. And so the bank or the credit union is responsible for making the loan. And one of the things we learned, of course, when that PPP program was rolled out, was that not everybody, in terms of banks and credit unions, not everyone was eligible to use that program. So there was a couple credit unions here, including Coast Central, who when this started was not able to participate in that program. Now they can now. They had to apply and go through a process. And so that's a fundamental difference between those two programs. But in general, for the PPP, that means that the lending entity has to have the money on hand to make the loans, and that's typically, fine for banks and credit unions, obviously. But nevertheless, the nice thing about, again, small, local banks and credit unions is that, Humboldt County-based, is that the decision-making is all done here. And so, so perhaps they were able to react a little more quickly, or people on the ground were able to solve the problem a little more quickly because they go right up to the CEO, who might happen to just be down the hall. So some of that's happening. Now, that being said, there are large banks who are doing this, although there's been some criticism of one bank in particular who was limiting the amount of money they were going to put into this program, and so there was some national discussion of that and some fixes that had to be done, not to mention some political pressure. And so those are the two sort of big SBA programs out there and how they interface. So if you want the PPP, you go to your bank or credit union, And if you want the idle, you basically go online and apply that way.
One of the things that we have heard also is that some of the banks were limiting it to customers only. And there was some question about, was that an internal decision that was being made, or was that just more of a response to the total activity, the load that was coming through, and just trying to kind of limit the tidal wave, so to speak. And then after that initial plus.
It depends on, there was no restriction in the program that said they had to do it to customers only. So that clearly was a decision of the bank or the credit union to do that. And a couple of the local banks and credit unions did that as well. And, the reason primarily is two reasons. One of which is just the sheer volume. I know that one local, Redwood Capital responded by, bringing in staff all weekend after that April 3rd rollout to start processing these applications. And so they limited to customers only, existing customers only, because they want to take care of their customers first. As we move forward, I suspect that, that at some point that wave will crest and then things will be opening up more. And now CoCentral opened up to their customers once they got the approval, and we're seeing others do that as well. But it really was, I think, just a decision based on we need to be able to provide service to our customers, and if we open this up completely right off the bat, we'll just be overwhelmed. We only have so many people and so many hours in the day to deal with all these loan applications. And that was one of the flaws. I wouldn't say a flaw, but that was one of the weak points of that PPP program, was that you have big national banks, and they have obviously a lot more capacity to handle a huge rush, although even they were overwhelmed. But for some of the local folks, it got rolled out really quickly, didn't have all the I's dotted and T's crossed, and they were pretty overwhelmed with the initial surge that came on after, because there was all this build-up to this program. And again, people didn't really recognize or realize that it was really the bank making the loan to the credit union making the loan and having to have their own staff process all this.
It is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We are doing a double call-in this morning. Mr. Foster is on the line. I'm in the living room. I presume, Greg, you're up in the attic. You haven't been let out yet?
I'm in the dining room bar in my house.
Oh, okay.
We did that.
Down how the mimosas are flowing,
with,
huh?
Congressman Huffman last night, so I'm still set up here from that. And got my two laptops here and doing all sorts of fun stuff.
Now, I'm hearing indications that there's going to be another bailout level, and this one's going to be a little bit different. What did the congressman have to say about the status of what's going on and what his impressions were of the programs to this point?
Well, he recognized that there were some issues with the rollout of the PPP program. And in fact, he's been really helpful in getting folks here into the program, applying a little pressure to the SBA to move more quickly for that. So, he actually, early on when we started seeing some issues around the rollout of the PPP, we contacted his office and him personally, and they jumped right in and were helping. So he's been good on that. I know he would like to get Congress back in session sooner than I think mid-May is what they're talking about to work on the next level. So we'll see what happens with that.
What is the purpose or the identified goal of having another tier or another level of funding?
Well, I think a couple of things, one of which is, you know, that PPP program and some of the other EIDL programs, from what I'm hearing and kind of in the media some, is that the rush was probably even more than they expected. And so there was some concern about, you know, whether or not there's going to be sufficient funding going forward. And, of course, the moving target is when and if we get back to some sort of normalcy. And as I say, we don't make that timeline, the virus does. So we're going to, you know, once we have a better understanding of nationally of how we move through this process, you know, we'll have a better understanding of what the need will be. And in fact, in Humboldt County, there's a survey, and I would encourage, if you're a business owner, to take it. There's an economic impact survey the county's doing, and that's gathering economic damage data. And that's used as part of our county's application for assistance from state OES and federal FEMA dollars. So the county has got that survey open, and we're as of Friday, 519 businesses have taken the survey, this is all self-reported, but they said that, you know, those 519 have had 1,693 job losses. So that's unfortunate. And, of course, we think that's going to grow, obviously.
Right. Yeah, I did that, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, whenever it went out. And I found it frustrating in a couple of places. And I don't know how we can project in loss of business when you don't know what you didn't get.
Right.
You can do historicals, but, right, you know, this is an election year and that's different. I mean, exactly. Things have changed, particularly with the legalization in our area. You base it on trends or just people not showing. I mean, how do you know on a guess what
right.
went down?
How do you know what you didn't get when your business is always out there hustling and trying to grow, right? And so,
bingo.
That's a good question. That's a good question. And, you know, obviously this is an imperfect survey, but, you know, it's an imperfect time. We're trying, you know, it's like we've never done this before.
Right.
And, you know, I had that question in an interview recently. It's like, well, how, you know, were you prepared? And you know, and I said, well, yes and no. I mean, we've never done anything like this before. And what's interesting, you know, is often when there's a disaster, it's a geographically isolated. It's a forest fire, or it's a storm, or hurricane, tornadoes, whatever. And the people responding are generally from outside the community in some ways, or haven't been, you know, most of the people who are there aren't necessarily directly affected in the long term. But, you know, here we are. We're tasked with responding to this. At the same time, you know, here I am sitting in my dining room working. You know, my staff is spread all out. We're trying to figure out how to do this in a whole new way. We're all affected. You know, personally, I'm doing all the shopping and getting the mail and everything for my parents who are older, and I don't want out the Caliban around. So it's, you know, the analogy is, it's not new, obviously, is that we're not only building the plane, but we're flying it at the same time. And that's been a particular challenge. I do think it's going to result in long-term, at least in our organization, I suspect with a lot of people, long-term changes, some of which are good. We figured out how to be much, you know, even more efficient. We were pretty lean and mean anyway with only four people, but we've gotten really good at not seeing each other face to face and doing all this over the computers and doing shared drives and all this.
It's almost like there might be a different model, you know, as retail has gone through and commercial space isn't needed. Office space now, yeah, might be a glut in the next 6 or 8 months as we establish whatever the norm is. I don't think it's going back
well,
to norm.
Well, you
I
know,
think
that's been happening in other areas. Right, yeah. And that's been happening in other areas for other reasons. For example, in the Bay Area, you know, both my brother and sister-in-law telecommute. Not every day, but my sister-in-law essentially works from home and has for years working for Oracle. And, you know, they do it that way because of all the traffic issues, basically, and the cost of office space is just cheaper to have people working at home. And so, you know, for different reasons, they were doing that kind of distributed workplace model, and we didn't do that obviously up here as much, but maybe we do now. Who knows? I mean, this will have obviously long-term repercussions in terms of how we do things and societal change.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster, the executive director from REDEC. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC itself, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Greg, considering some of the different challenges that are out there in the marketplace, in the community itself, do you think we're going to, or is it too early to kind of get a grasp of what is going to be the new customer that's out there? We kind of know where things were, but if everything right. is changing a little bit, let's say if there's more folks working out of home, well, that's going to change the petroleum industry significantly. The airline yeah. industry, we're kind of seeing that play out nationally now. I know Cody is kind of talking to himself at the airport these days. There is a new dynamic at work. And I, you know, whether or not we go back to what was, I'm hearing there's going to be such a latency period that's that next wave of big question that's out there is what do our communities look like?
Yeah, yeah, and that's a very good question, boy. And I'm sure there's people who are a lot smarter than me working on that now. But you bring up the airline. Air traffic has dropped off. I saw the stat by 96%. So, you know, we went from, we're down to only two flights a day to San Francisco. If both go out, you know, they're sort of canceling them on the fly as they look at, you know, whether or not there's anybody on the plane. So, you know, that was going from anywhere from, you know, 6,000 to 9,000 passengers a month getting on planes here. Now we're down to just dribs and drabs. And so, of course, the county and the airport, which is, of course, part of the county, is saying, you know, if you don't have to travel, don't. Most of this travel is necessary travel, like healthcare workers and that sort of thing, who still go, you know, between communities. So just that airline, that industry that I work in, the airline industry is like, you know, what are we, you know, how are we coming out? Now, there was an article in the Dallas Morning News a day or two ago that more than a third of the pilots and flight attendants in American Airlines will take voluntary leave or retire in April or May. A lot of early retirements, a lot of people leaving this industry, and it is going to look different. And, you know, ironically, we were having the discussion in right around the end of February, like March 2nd or 3rd, and, of course, things were starting to happen, but, you know, we hadn't done the shelter in place or anything like that yet. And, you know, we were thinking, boy, we had an incredible January and February here. This is going to be a great year, you know, with the new Denver service in L.A. doing two, you know. And we were saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to recruit, you know, maybe a third departure to L.A. We're going to try to get another departure to Denver because the numbers are just going up and so strong. And, you know, now, like, okay, plan B, whatever that is,
yeah.
Which, you know,
now,
which will be as we...
Are the reduced numbers going to count against those figures that United had put in place against the Denver and against L.A., or is there kind of a suspension of that for this period, plus maybe 3 months?
Right. So the L.A. service, we were already past the end of the contract, so we weren't providing any support for that service. That ended last June, so that was good. That was just running on its own and doing fine. Denver, you know, in March, they said, okay, we're ending all service to Denver starting in April, of course. So then we're no longer obviously supporting the service past April 1st. So we will take a hit in March, but I don't know what that will look like yet. We haven't gotten those numbers. But, you know, our load factor went from, you know, the mid-70s to high 70s, maybe low 80, which is a great number for January and February for here. I think we're down in the mid 40% load, which again is the percentage of the seats that are sold basically in March. So we already started seeing a big hit, obviously, in March, and then in April, of course, we're just down to just dribs and drabs at this point.
Right. How was freight? I know that that's part of this also, filling the belly of the planes. Has freight dropped off comparably, or is that on a whole different model?
You know, I think that's somewhat of a different model. And in fact, there may be more air freight in some ways, and I haven't seen the actual data on that. Now, we, you know, our FedEx Air and Ground come in through a contract carrier here. I mean, not the Ground, Air comes in through a contract carrier here. And obviously, I think that industry is doing fairly well because people are now ordering everything and having delivered to their homes. There is, depending on the flight too, you know, how much cargo goes in and out on United. I know that the blood bank does ship their samples out on that, and I assume they're still doing that, although I don't know that for sure. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, you certainly have more room on the plane now for freight because you only have a few passengers. And the primary limiting factor on that, you know, of course, is weight. And so if you don't have any passengers, you got more room for cargo. And, in fact, United had, at the national level, repurposed some of its large passenger aircraft to do freight only. So they've been doing that at the national level.
We're also starting to hear stories that the individual checks are beginning to arrive and dropping into people's bank accounts. Is there any thoughts to what the total impact will be? I've run a couple numbers, and I'm seeing $100 million to $125 million into Humboldt County with those dollars. Obviously, a lot of them are going to be going to utilities and house payments and things like that. But is there any thought yet or any modeling that shows that this might be a little bit of a spur or a pump into the local economy that's really taking it on the chin?
I certainly hope so. And I would hope that people who haven't had their income interrupted as a result of this will use that money and reinvest it into a local economy because, you know, a lot of our businesses locally are really struggling and hurting, and so if we could pump some of that money into them rather than, you know, shopping on Amazon and ordering something from outside the area, I think that'd be great.
News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, for folks that are out, you know, just trying to figure things out now, what are some of the things that you would suggest that they do, either to monitor the situation or to get a better sense of what the situation is?
Sure. So if you're a business owner, I would definitely still go to the North Coast Small Business Development Center. And if you just Google that, it'll come up. It's northcoastsbdc.org. HumboldtGov.org, which is the county's website, has a lot of good information beyond just business, but just in general about the local situation and the stay-in-place order and various rules around that. And then the job market has information for folks who are, you know, out of work or looking for work or, you know, dealing with employment or unemployment issues. And that's the job market, which is, you know, physically located at 4th and K in Eureka, but it obviously is closed to the public right now. But if you go on the internet, you can find, if you just put job market Eureka or job market Humboldt, you will find them. And they have information that's good for individuals there around employment. And so those are the sources that I'm sort of going to, because they really take the best what we have at the state and national level and kind of distill it down and apply it to what's going on locally in Humboldt County.
Have you been pleased with the flexibility and creativity of local businesses?
You know, yeah. I mean, it's been amazing to watch, you know, all restaurants are to go now, and we're seeing all sorts of delivery services and things like that. And you know, that's hard and it's challenging for local businesses. And that's why I think that, you know, we need to support those folks and really help our local folks out, business owners out as much as we can, because they're definitely in survival mode. And we want them here when we come out of this on the other side. And the last thing we want is to, you know, come out of this and we kind of try to start returning to normal as people and as community members. And to find the places that we love and have shopped and relied upon all these years are gone. And so it's, you know, as much as about, you know, helping ourselves survive through all this, I think we need to help those business neighbors as well, those local business owners. And so,
all righty, Greg. Thanks for helping us out here. And a couple words of wisdom, yes. See everybody
tomorrow. There you go.